Oh, you got a special. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
You won't be able to see me, but that's okay. Nothing good. Is it on? Okay.
She gets her stuff. All right. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1.
Just so you know, I'm pretty
And you know what? I get the leftovers. Isn't that cool? That's the only good part about junior church is pastor gets the leftovers. Yes, ma'am. Who's that? Yeah. Yeah. We'll take them. We'll pray for them at the end. We have a family that we took on as missionaries this week. Normally, we don't take them on this time of the year, but the Sanders came in, and they are going to China tomorrow. They're flying out tomorrow morning to China, and they came in, and they wanted to get curriculum for their children. And so we decided as a school and as a church, we would take them on for support, and then we would take and we would give them their curriculum. And so we'll be sending all their curriculum to China, and it's going to be exciting to do that. And we got their name up on the boards and stuff, and we've been praying for them every day. And so, but it's kind of neat. All right, Matthew chapter 1, starting verse number 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. I just pray, Lord, that you might take and speak through me to the hearts of the people who are here. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. We just thank you for this season now that we can remember your birth and that we can celebrate it. And Father, I just pray that you'll guide and direct us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This being the Christmas season, I wanted to do something a little bit different than what I've done in the past. I've always had Christmas messages this time of the year and everything. But this year, I thought, you know what? I'm going to do something a little bit different. How many of you ever heard of the Harmony of the Gospels? Okay, so those of you who don't know what the Harmony of the Gospels is, you're going to learn something. Make sure you hear the next four Sundays. What we're going to do is we're going to be looking at Christ's birth through the eyes of four different men: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, it's very interesting in the Harmony of the Gospels because each of these men depict Jesus as something else. The first Matthew, and that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, depicts him as a king. Mark depicts him as a servant. Luke depicts him as the Son of Man, and John, the Son of God. And the title of this morning's message is Christ Born King. Christ Born King, or a King is Born. And we're going to be looking at the book of Matthew this morning, and we're going to see how Matthew showed that Jesus was a king, and how that he came into the earth to be a king. And if you listen intently, I guarantee you're going to get something out of this, because I'll tell you what, I got something out of writing it, amen? And when I get something out of writing it, believe me, you're going to get something out of it when I preach it, amen? All right. But the first thing we want to do is we want to look at the genealogy of Christ. If you go to the first 17 verses of the book of Matthew, chapter 1, what you'll see is
a whole list of people named, going all the way from Joseph back to Abraham. Now, there are two things which are very important to see in these verses. We need to realize, number one, is that this genealogy that it's talking about in the book of Matthew is the genealogy of Joseph, not Mary, of Joseph. Now, all of us know that Joseph was not Jesus' dad or biological dad. We need to understand that. The Holy Spirit was. The Holy Ghost came down upon Mary, and that's how Jesus was conceived. Now, what we need to realize, though, is that in the days that in the line of Joseph, Joseph was not the father of Jesus, but in the days of which Joseph and Mary lived, the lineage of a king had to be followed back to a king. They had to become from a king. It was the same way with, and we talked about this morning in Sunday school, about the high priest. The high priest had to be of the family of who? Or the seed of who? Aaron. Had to be of the seed of Aaron. And that's why we talked this morning about Elizabeth. Elizabeth was of the seed of Aaron. And she was Mary's cousin. And that's how Jesus can be our high priest, because of that. Now, we need to realize that from verse 7 through verse 12, we see kings and their fathers being mentioned. If you were to be an heir of the throne, your father would have had to be of a kingly line. Now, the second thing is that it's important that there was detailed description of who you were. Now, it is amazing to me of how precise the genealogy of Jesus was. Notice that they go every one all the way back to Abraham. Now, we'll see in the book of Luke that they go all the way back to Adam. But it's Mary's line, not Joseph's. And that's very important. And we're going to see that when we get to the book of Luke. But the genealogy of someone had to be very precise if you were going to be a king or a priest or something like that. Now, just think about that for just a minute. There was 400 years between Abraham and the fall of, or coming out of Egypt. Then there was 400 years from the coming out of Egypt until, I can't remember what the next 400. Remember that? Where that goes? Anyway, but then you go 400 years from there, the building of Jerusalem. And then 400 years from there to Christ. Now, everything was precisely exactly the way it should be. And that's the way the Bible is. It's very precise. And this genealogy of Jesus is very, very precise. We need to understand that somewhere, someone is keeping track of all these genealogies. How many of you know how far back your name goes? How far does your go back? And it's gone? Anybody else? The what? 16th century? 1600s? 1400s? We go all the way back to the Indians. There you go. Amen. No wonder you're... No, I'm just kidding. Yes, sir. 1632. My ancestry, believe it or not, and it's in a book, they published a book on it, goes all the way back to the 9th century. And I had a great uncle who lost both of his legs in a streetcar accident in Los Angeles. He was a streetcar operator years and years and years and years ago. And anyway, he lost his legs, and they paid him a pension, and, you know, so he lived pretty good the rest of his life. But anyway, he did a genealogy. He went all over the world doing the storm side of our family. And he went all the way back to the 9th century. I mean, it was unbelievable how far back. But he started and he wrote a book. And believe it or not, my name is in the book. And then when he died, my brother took it over. And he's been keeping track ever since then. And it's real interesting to read your genealogy. You know, I'm glad somebody did it because I would never have done it. You know, it just takes too much time. But if you go down to Tombstone, how many of you have been to Tombstone? If you go to Boot Hill, there's a tombstone there, and it says Charlie Storm. He rode with Wyatt Earp, and it gives the date that he was killed. He was killed in a gunfight in Tombstone on that date. And that would have been my great-great-great-great-great uncle. And so it's kind of interesting to know things like that after all. You know, I'm famous. You know, my uncle, great-great-great-great-great-uncle, is buried down on Boot Hill. But if you take and you think about genealogies, believe it or not, are very, very, very important, especially to the Jews. And that's how they knew who was in line for the next king or the next high priest or whatever. But we need to realize then that genealogies, even in our lives today, are very good. Now, my wife, on the other hand, her mother always told her that because her name was Smith, she was a direct descendant of Pocahontas. And they have zero Indian blood in them. Anyway, that's okay, you know, but her mother always thought that. So, and as she got older, we just let her keep thinking it. But second thing is this. There had to be a sign for a king. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, saying, "Where is the king born of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." You know, in the day of the kings, there was believed that there was a new star that appeared in the sky every time a new king was born. Now, many of you know the story of the wise guys and how that they had saw the star in the east and they decided to follow it because there was a new king that was born. But, you know, there were these men that were stargazers and they looked for a sign of a new king to be born. Now, they didn't live around Bethlehem. They didn't live anywhere in that area. They were quite a ways away, and many feel that it took them almost 2 years to take and travel to where the place was where Jesus was born. And so here we see these wise men from the east coming to see the baby Jesus. You know, if you take and you think about, you know, I'm kind of goofy. I always think of stuff like this. But back then, they didn't have any telephones. You know, they didn't have internet. They couldn't text. You know, they couldn't do any of that stuff. So they had to have a sign of some kind to know that there was a new king born. And that's why, you know, they felt that a star would take and show the place where the new king was born. Now, the wise men, you know, from the east came, and they had been watching for this, for the new Messiah, or the Messiah to come into the world. And more than likely, they knew the writings of Isaiah. More than likely, these men, these wise men, knew the writing of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, or chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, there are many who feel that they may have known also the writing of Daniel. Now, if you take and you look at the writing of Daniel in Daniel's seventh week, you'll see that there was a precise time when the Messiah was to be born. More than likely, they not only knew the writings of Isaiah, but they also knew the writings of Daniel, and they knew the time when they had to start looking for that star. Now, these men were looking for a sign which was going to show them by God where the new king of the Jewish nation was going to be born. But then you have to take and know where the place of the birth was. You have to know where the place of the birth is. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1 it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Now the wise men came from the east to worship the king which was born. Now, they came to Jerusalem. And this is the thing that I found very interesting about this whole story, is why was it they came to Jerusalem? Who can tell me? Huh? Nope. Okay. Okay, where was Herod at? Jerusalem. That was where the king was. Okay, now, what was the kingly line from another king? So, naturally, they would have thought, what? We got to go to Jerusalem. There's something else very interesting, and I have a message that I preach on it. What do you do when the star goes out? Now, I believe that they knew that there was a new king born in Jerusalem. And they started going towards that way, and the star went out. And I can show you why by Scripture, why I believe that. But that's another message, okay? Anyway, but I believe that they were going on their own traditional thoughts. And they went to Jerusalem to find the new king. He wasn't there. And so they get to Jerusalem, they go to Herod, they say, okay, where's the baby that we can worship this newborn child? Now, these wise men were unfamiliar with the rest of the Scriptures. And you go, well, what do you mean by that? Well, let's Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, "And when they had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born, and said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." Herod wanted to know where this child was to be born. He got all the wise guys together in this whole country. He says, okay, I want to know where this Christ child is born. And they said, well, you didn't ask before, but we'll tell you. Bethlehem of Judea. He goes, well, how do you know that? They said, well, it says in Scripture. The chief priests knew the Scripture. They knew exactly what the Scripture said, because they had studied it all their lives. Micah 5:2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrah, though thou art little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." You know, even though the wise men from the east went the wrong way, they found out what direction to go in the end. You know, I find it very interesting that the only way they knew where the Christ child was going to be was by God's word. Do you notice that? What did they do? They all went to God's word to find out the way they should go. You know, how many times in our lives do we just kind of go stumbling, bumbling through life, kind of like the wise men did, and we have no idea where we're going? Why? Because we don't go into God's Word the way we should. Now, as they left, the king wanted him to do something, didn't he? Verses 9 and 10, it says in chapter 2 of Matthew, it says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Now, I want to stop right there for a minute. Now, what just happened there? I'm going to read it one more time. It says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they had which they saw in the east went before them. This is why I believe that the star went out. All of a sudden, they get done with Herod, and boom, there's the star again. And it stood right over the place where the baby laid. I believe that they followed their own intuition to go to Jerusalem to find the new king, and he wasn't there. But as soon as they said, okay, we're going to go a different route, boom, there was the star. And God showed them exactly where to go. You know, we need to realize that we need to rely on God to take and show us our way and how to go and where to go. You know, many times we take our eyes off of the Lord and we look at the world trying to find our directions through the world, and guess what? We get lost, don't we? We get lost. But you know, there also had to be gifts for a king. There also had... How many of you are warm? Anybody warm? All right. There had to be gifts for a king. And what we need to realize is that these three wise men, they had the king, or the gifts that they needed for the king. Take a look at Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. You know, it was customary in the day. It is even today, believe it or not. If the President of the United States would have a, well, not the President, but the First Lady, would have a child, it's customary for other countries to bring gifts. Diapers, you know what I mean, things like that. Have a baby shower, you know. But back then it was also customary for these wise men to bring gifts from their country to the newborn king. And it's interesting in the gifts that they brought. Notice what they brought. First thing they brought was gold. Now, gold was a very precious metal. It is today even. And it was brought when it was one of the most precious, priciest possessions of that day. Everything was in that period was based on the gold standard. How many of you remember when our currency was based on the gold standard? That's what we need to go back to, is the gold standard. At least we'd have something that was worth something. But if a person had gold, they were a wealthy person in that time period. Now here we see that they came with gold and presented it to the king. They presented it to the king. The second thing was frankincense. Frankincense was a very costly resin imported from Arabia. Even in the day of the Lord, it was very, very, very expensive. This is one of the things that was used in the temple. This is one of the spices that God had told Moses to take and use as an odor of sweet savor to him. And what they would do is they would burn that in the temple, and they believed that the prayers would go up to God in the odor of this frankincense. They would light this, and it would take the odors up to God. Now, frankincense was thought to be what God wanted in the early days to bring prayers up to Him. This price was so costly that only a king could afford it. That's how costly it was. Then the last thing was myrrh. This was a very costly spice also of that time period. And it was used for embalming the dead. It was used for embalming the dead. You know, this spice was imported from Egypt. This spice was used to help preserve the pharaohs and their burying of their dead kings. This spice was not just a normal gift that someone would give to a newborn baby. This was not something that was given to a newborn baby. But these three gifts were very, very important to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The first thing was the gold. That represented his kingship. That represented his kingship. The second thing was the frankincense. That represented his answer or his intercessory to us for our prayers. The third thing was the myrrh, and that represented his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what he was. That's what they used to take and embalm his body after he was taken off the cross. So here we see these three things were so very, very important to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, Matthew showed Christ as the King of this world, who would come to save this world from its sin. He was born to a common mother. However, he had a kingly father. He was raised in a home of the poor, yet he rules King Supreme. Jesus was born as the King of the world, coming to set up his kingdom for all eternity. We need to always realize that it is through what Jesus did on the cross that we can have eternal life. He died a death which he should not have died. He paid a penalty that he should not have been penalized for. He did something that you and I should have done. You know, we're all sinners, and we've all come short of the glory of God, haven't we? It was through this King that we can have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his what? Only begotten Son. The only thing that God had, he gave for us. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Here we see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords come to this earth for one purpose, and that was to die on the cross for you and I. That we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. There's an awful lot of people today that say, well, I can take and get to heaven my way. I don't have to get to heaven the Bible way. Well, I'm sorry to say that isn't the way it is. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We need to realize is that we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ before we can have eternal life. We need to know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If we know him, we don't have to worry what's going to happen to us when we die. I was so happy when Brother Nick came to me Wednesday night. And he says, Pastor says, I just want to let you know, a good friend of ours, his and mine, passed away this last week, Danny Padilla. I've known Danny for close to 20 years. And he passed away, and he's been a Catholic all of his life. And many times, I mean, he's over the church a lot. And I've had a chance a couple different times talking to him about the Lord and stuff. But Nick had a chance to share the gospel with him, and he got saved before he died. And man, I'll tell you what, that thrilled my heart. That thrilled my heart to know that the minute he closed his eyes, he was absent from this body and present with the Lord. You know, he's standing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Man, how much better could you have it than that? Amen?
I'll tell you what, it's such a joy to know that if something would happen to us, where we would spend eternity. Amen. Amen. So we need to realize is that we can't get to heaven on our own. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. We thank you for all that you've done for us. I just pray now that you continue to guide and direct us. Father, we just thank you for being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you for the Gospels that we have to read and we can study. We just thank you how each and every Gospel portrayed you a little bit differently. But yet we know that you were born to be the King. Father, I just pray now that you guide and direct the invitation. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I'm not 100% sure that if I were to die right now, where I would spend eternity. I can't remember a time or a place where I've asked Jesus to be Lord of my life, King of my life. If that's you, I just want to pray for you. Just raise your hand quickly, quietly. Anyone like that at all? Just raise your hand quickly, quietly. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, you know, I haven't made the Lord King of my life. I've looked to other things. I've tried to get through my life my way. But I need to take and let Him take care of everything in my life. I want to turn everything over to Him. And let Him control my life. Would you pray for me that I can let Him control my life? Is there anyone like that? Just quickly, quietly. Anyone at all? Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? Father, you know our hearts. You know our deepest desires. And Father, I just pray for these that maybe haven't put you preeminent in their life. Father, I just pray that they would take and be able to take and put you first in everything that they do. We thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for what you did on the cross. I just pray now that you'll continue to guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'd like to have you stand, turn your hymnal to number 163 as Brother Victor comes.